Well, good morning, True North Church. How are we doing out there? You're alive? Are we alive? Give me something. Give me some energy out there. Yes. Love you all. So grateful to be able to be up here each and every Sunday and to open the Word of God with my church family. We've been in a series for the last few weeks that we're just calling Peace in the New Year. And really, the heart of this series is simple. We believe that God wants us to live a life filled with peace. That he does not want us to live an anxious life. He does not want us to live a life that is stressed or worried or hurried. He wants us to live in the fullness of the peace that he offers. And he does offer us that. Those of us who have placed our faith in Jesus Christ know this. Even if we're not living in it every moment from one day to the next, we know it's possible. And so for us here at True North Church, here's what we want for you. Here's what I want for you as your pastor, is for you to live a life that is filled with peace. And so we've talked about some areas over the last couple of weeks where we often have our peace kind of stolen from us, right? Our marriages and relationships, that's one place where oftentimes we can feel like our peace is stolen. In our finances, in our parenting, right? And today we're gonna dig into another one of those topics. And I wanna begin with a little statistic that I read this week as I was preparing for this particular week. The statistic went like this. It was a Gallup poll that was taken a few years ago, and it said that 85% of people are stressed out by this one thing. That thing is our jobs. What we do every day when we go to work. 85% of people. And what I began to immediately think about when I read that statistic was, you know, we spend 8 to 10 hours of our day in our job. Some of us, maybe more than that. And so that's a significant amount of time that we are spending in an area where 85% of us feel stressed out and anxious and worried, right? And so here's my heart to you today. I don't want you to be stressed out, anxious, and worried. I want you to have peace. And so if that's a place, if our jobs, if that's a place where we feel that regularly, then I think this is the most important place we could talk about that. Because here's what I absolutely know. God has an answer for that. God has an answer for how we view our work, for the perspective that we have on our work. And so what I want to do today is I want to actually help us have a theology, if you will, of our work. How does God view it? How should we view it? And my hope is when we walk out of here today, that we are equipped and prepared to have peace in our professions, in our jobs, whatever it is you do, whether you're a janitor, a homemaker, a teacher, executive at a massive company, no matter what you do, I believe you can have peace in your job. Now, the culture's gonna tell you something about your work. The culture's gonna tell you this. If you just find the right job, the perfect job for you, then you will have peace. Then you won't experience any anxiety, you won't experience any worry. Now, I've had a fair amount of jobs in my lifetime, and I can tell you this, and I love my current job. I'm telling you right now, I'm in my sweet spot. I know that. Without a shadow of a doubt, this is what I am supposed to be doing with my life right now. I am the pastor of True North Church. And there are still some days that are really hard and really challenging. And I love it, but it's hard work sometimes. And so it doesn't matter how much you love your job. If you're absolutely in the sweet spot of your purpose, there are going to be days when it is a challenge, where it stresses you out. And so that's not the answer. I think we all know this. The answer to peace in your job, whatever it happens to be, is not in finding the perfect job. And so that really leads to the question I want to answer today. What is it then? If that's not it, if it's not just finding the right job, what is going to actually bring me peace in my profession? And so we're going to open up the Word of God today as we do every single week here. If you're new to True North Church, I want to be straightforward with you. We hang our hat on the Word of God here. We believe it is the ultimate source of truth for our lives. We believe it will transform our lives if we will listen to it, be obedient to it, allow it to speak to us. It's active and living, and it will change you if you allow it to. And so every single week we get into the word here, but I also want to encourage you, we say this a lot around here, that nothing will change your life more than you personally getting into the word of God daily. Every single day, you getting into the word. Not a message up here or some podcast that you listen to. Those are good things. Those are supplemental things. But we encourage you to be in the word daily and to read this for yourselves. And so today, this is really a springboard. That's what a sermon is here every week. It's a springboard for you to go home, think about this some more, and dig into this and unpack this for yourself. And so the first thing I want to do today, before we even dive into kind of what should our perspective be about work, is I want us to see that work, when it comes to God, it's a part of his plan from the beginning for all humanity, right? So maybe encourage you to write this down if you took something to brought something to take notes with. Work was a part of God's plan from the very beginning. From the very beginning, right? Our God is a God who works. Do we believe that? Do we understand that? Right? What did God do in the very beginning? How did time as we know it and understand it begin? With God what? Creating, right? He created in 6 days this world that we live in. He worked. That took work. And then what did he do? On the seventh day, he rested from that work. And what God was doing there was establishing for us the pattern of work and rest. Work and rest. Some of us in the room this morning, we just need to hear this. Maybe this is the only thing God brought you here for to hear today. Some of y'all just need to learn how to rest. And I'm one of those people. I'm in that camp. I don't rest well. I work great. I don't rest very well at all, right? But resting is just as much a part and just as important a part of work as the work itself. And so God himself is a God who works, and he establishes work for humanity, for us, for a purpose and a reason. From the very beginning, I want us to see this. Look at this in Genesis 2:15. It says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it." Now, what's important to note here is that Genesis 2:15, it says that God put Adam in the garden to work the garden and to take care of it. This happens before the fall. This happens before sin enters into the world, right? So work, hard work, comes as a result of the fall, right? God says, we're going to labor and toil now because of our sin, right? But before the fall, work was meant to bring great joy and fulfillment and purpose. He gave humanity the ability to tend and to work the garden, to have dominion over the world, to care for it, right? And that was meant, to bring great fulfillment, right? The fall, unfortunately, in Genesis 3:17, we read this, is what made it harder. That's what actually made work not feel fulfilling anymore. And yet, here's what I believe. We can find great fulfillment in our work, no matter what our job is. We can. And what I want us to see, the reason I'm sharing this as we begin is, I want us to see that work is a gift. And for many of us right now, I don't know what your job is. I don't know if it's stressing you out. But for many of us, that's a hard concept. My work is a gift. It sure doesn't feel like a gift right now. Maybe you've got a bad boss. Maybe you've got a bad working environment, bad culture. Maybe the hours you're being asked to work is just over the top, tremendous. Right? And you're going, how do I see this as a gift? This is essential to having peace in whatever it is that we are doing on a day-to-day basis in our jobs, right? We need to see it. It's a gift, right? Why? Because we have to go into every day with an attitude of gratitude about our work. And that's hard to do. Trust me, believe me, I've had some bad bosses. I have days where I don't really want to go to work, right? But we must have this attitude. We must have this perspective about it. So first things first, we must see this. Work was a part of God's plan from the beginning. But then the second thing I want us to see this morning is how the Lord calls us to view our work. And we're going to be in a passage of scripture, a text this morning found in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 5. Again, encourage you to follow along in your Bibles. We will have the words up on the screens. But the last couple of weeks, we've actually been in this text a little bit here, in Ephesians 5 and 6. And if you track with Paul as he's writing to the Ephesian church here, that's what the book of Ephesians is about. Paul's writing this letter to encourage the church at Ephesus. And when he writes to this church at Ephesus, he wants them to understand some things about their relationships. Relationships in all facets and formats. And so he begins in Ephesians 5 talking about how we should submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. All relationships, healthy relationships, are that's a key ingredient to healthy relationships, right? We are submitting to one another, surrendering to one another. Then he goes into marriages, right? Not just relationships, but especially in your marriages, you're going to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Then he talks to children and how they should honor and respect their parents. And then he talks to parents themselves and says, this is how you are to treat your children and how you're to love them and train them. And then immediately following that, he goes into working relationships, our work relationships, and that's where we're going to pick up here today in Ephesians 6, chapter 5. It goes like this. Slaves, it says, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. He says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people. Because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. And masters, it says, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven. And there is no favoritism with him. And so we need some really key important context here before we dive into this. Because some of you might be reading that and thinking, what does this have to do with my work here in 2024? I mean, we're talking about slavery, right? And so first and foremost, we need to understand this. Slavery is never, never condoned in Scripture. While they may be talking about slaves here, we need to understand a few things. When we think of slavery, here's what we immediately go to, right? And I think rightfully so. We immediately go to the evil practice that was going on for hundreds and hundreds of years where people were stealing, literally stealing people out of their villages and homes and putting them to work, hard labor, treating them as though they weren't even human beings, right? Wrong, evil, sinful behavior. And sadly, many Christians used Scripture, used the Bible to support that position. Well, we know that is just, it's evil to the nth degree, right? And so during biblical times, absolutely, there was slavery going on. Many of the slaves in biblical times were looked at and treated more like bond servants, right? And so they were serve in a house for 7 years, and then they were to be released if they had a good owner, if they had a good master, right? Or that bond servant could actually choose to continue to serve in that family if they wanted to, right? And so again, I want us to see this here this morning. Number one, slavery never condoned in Scripture. It's in the way that we understand it, it's evil and it is not of God. Right? God looks at all people, all of his creation created in the image of God. Nobody should be put in that position. And so what Paul is doing here is he's using this relationship of slave to master, essentially in a way of as a metaphor, an illustration of how all people who have authorities over them should treat those who are in authority above them. And how all people who are in authority over others should treat those who are beneath them, right? So those who are your bosses and for the bosses themselves, right? Paul is using this illustration again as an instruction here for everybody who has authority over them. So again, this context is unbelievably important for understanding this passage. So he gives several challenges here that are essential for us to find fulfillment in our work. We want peace in our jobs. We want to really, truly get to a place where when we go to work every day, we find fulfillment and purpose. we need to understand a couple things. First and foremost, understand who we really serve. Every day when we go to work, we must understand this. Who do we actually serve? Let's read verses 5 and 6 again. It says, "Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart." Okay, and so multiple times here in this text, we see this in verse 5 and verse 6, right? Slaves, workers, you are to obey your earthly masters. Why? Because you are obeying them the way that you would obey Christ, out of reverence for Christ, right? He says, obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ. And this is a challenging concept, I think, for many of us, right? Who are we serving every single day when we wake up, no matter what we do? We are serving our King, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who created us, who put breath in our lungs. And for those of us who've placed our faith and trust in him as Savior, who has saved us, he is now our King. He is now our boss. And what he calls us to do, what he commands us to do with our lives, it trumps everybody else in our life. He's primary now, right? We all have other bosses, most of us, but he is the primary boss. We follow him. We listen to him. We live how, according to the way that he commands us and calls us to live, right? Whatever work we do, paid or unpaid, we are going to give our absolute best for our King. And this is a heart posture that we have to, like, for many of us, this is a mindset shift. There's a change in the way we have to see our work, right? Every day when I go to work, yes, I have a boss, but my first responsibility is to do what my Heavenly Father is calling me to do in my job. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that here in a second, right? Why? Because we are now part of a new kingdom. When we come into faith and we begin to follow Jesus, we're now a part of his kingdom. We're no longer a part of the kingdom of the world. We have a new king. We're following him, right? We're ultimately working. And again, I think this is really important for us every day as we go to work. We're working for his reward. We're working for his approval, not the approval of man. Look what verse 8 says. It says, "Because you know that the Lord will reward each one of you for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free." We work for God. We work for our Heavenly Father and our King. So that's first and foremost. This is paramount to having a perspective of peace when it comes to our work. We serve a new King. But not only are we serving this King, Jesus, every day when we go to work, we're also serving, it says, our bosses. And this is a hard concept. If you have a bad boss, if you have a boss that you really don't like, I get it. This is a challenging, challenging command that God is giving us, and yet I think it is so vitally important. What does it say? It says to obey and respect your earthly masters, right? With respect and fear. How? As we respect Christ. As we respect Christ. So in the same way that we would respect Jesus as our ultimate boss, it says we're actually supposed to respect our other bosses, our earthly bosses in our life. And it's not just, and this is key, and I don't think it's an accident that Paul puts this in here, right? This is the word of God. This is the Holy Spirit telling Paul to say this, right? What does he say about the type of work we should be doing and how we should be respecting our bosses? He says, we are to work hard for them and respect them and honor them even when they're not looking, even when they're not watching. That's what it says, right? It says, verse 6, obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your hearts, right? And so regardless, this is so hard, and yet again, I think so essential, because you're going to have good bosses and you're going to have bad ones. That's the reality. You're going to have good bosses and bad ones, regardless of whether they're good or not. we are commanded, we are called as followers of Jesus to respect them, to do everything that we can to honor them, right? Now, I think this is obvious, but I want to make sure I say this. If you have a boss who's asking you to do something immoral, who's asking you to do something that goes against the word of God, you're not going to be obedient to that. Why? We got to get our hierarchies correct, right? Who's our first boss? Jesus is our first boss, right? He's the primary, right? Secondary is whatever other earthly bosses we have, right? So we're first and foremost following Jesus. We're second, we're serving whoever that earthly boss is, right? And what I want us to understand here is that even when it's hard and even when that person doesn't deserve it, this honors the Lord. It honors God when we do this. And I think about Jesus. I think about Christ and what he did for us and the way that he honors us by dying for us, by giving up his life for us when we don't deserve it, right? And so we're treating this person in a way that really they don't deserve if they're a bad boss especially. But we're doing that out of reverence for Christ because that is what Jesus did for us and what he commands us to do as his followers, right? And then finally, he gives this quick caveat in verse 9. He talks to the bosses for a second. And maybe you're a boss here. Maybe you own your company. Maybe you're at the top of the food chain. And it says, masters, treat your slaves in the same way, with honor and respect. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him, right? If we are the boss, this is the mindset we need to have. We are there to serve the people who are underneath of us. Absolutely. Do we need them to do the things that they need to do to perform their job well? Do we have to push them? Do we have to challenge them to be their best? Of course. But at the end of the day, we are there to serve them. We are there to honor and respect them. We must have that perspective when it comes to our jobs if we want to have peace. Understand who we really serve. But then number two, we're going to understand who God wants us to become. Who is God shaping me into as I go to work every day, whatever it is that I do? This is so important. God, what are you trying to do in me? Who are you trying to shape me into through this work that I'm being called to in this moment? Again, let's read verse 6. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, it says, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. And I want to key in on that phrase just for a second. Doing the will of God. What does that mean for us? As we serve, as we work, what does it look like to do the will of God? Well, first and foremost, we need to understand at its core what the will of God is for our lives. I know each of us have been given different talents and gifts, right? Not everybody has the mind to be an engineer. Not everybody has the articulation to be a public speaker or a preacher, right? But we've all been given different gifts, different talents and abilities, right? And so there's kind of a sub-will, if you will, a micro-will that I think God has for everybody, but there is a macro-level will that God has for every one of his children. And it's very, very simple. It is to become more like Jesus. Ultimately, that is God's goal for each of us, to become more like his son. And as we become more like Jesus, everything else begins to fall into place. Right? And so the will of God for our lives is to become more like Jesus. And so we spend 8 to 10 hours a day at work. Don't make no mistake about it. God wants to shape you and mold you into his likeness during that time. It is a huge part of our lives. He is working to mold you into his likeness. Right? And so what are some of the things that happen when we work and we actually put these things into practice? When we actually serve our king and serve our bosses and serve the people that we are responsible for overseeing. Number one, it creates a humility in us, and we need to see that. There's a humility that comes out of this, right? Submitting to those in authority requires great humility, does it not? Again, especially if it's not someone that you are prone to respect very much, right? Submitting to those in authority builds humility. It makes us lay down our pride. It says, I'm going to serve you even though I'm not sure I even really want to. Right? That's humility, putting the needs of other people above myself. That's what Jesus did over and over again. I think it's Jesus' most incredible quality is the humility that he showed. God of the universe, Lord over all, sacrificed himself for a bunch of sinners like me. That takes incredible humility. He wants us to have that kind of humility, right? So he's working on that in our jobs as we work. He also wants us to become servants, right? Work is about serving the Lord and serving others. There is, again, maybe nothing more Jesus-like than to be a servant, right? Jesus came not to be served, this is what he said, not to be served, but to be servant of all. That's our king. That's who he is. That's his nature. That's his character. He is a humble servant. And then third, he's a hard worker. Jesus gave everything to his mission, every ounce of himself to it. His mind, body, spirit, he invested in the mission that he had, in the job that he had. What was his job? To go to the cross and to die for us. And he did it better than anybody else ever possibly could have. He showed us what it looks like to work hard. And whether we realize it or not, hard work, it really matters to God. It matters. Hard work matters to God. Why? Because it brings him glory. That's why. How we steward the gifts that he has given us is a reflection pointing back to our Heavenly Father, right? As we work hard and are good stewards of the time and the talent that God has given us, it brings great glory to him. Do you know what the word glory or glorify means? It means to give an accurate representation of. That's what it means. When we say we're going to bring, we want God to receive glory, we want people to see an accurate representation of who God is. So through our work, how hard we work, how diligent we are, how much character and integrity we have, how we serve others, how humble we are through our job, it points back to our Creator. Right? When I work, here's what I want people to see. I want people to look at me and go, wow, why do you work so hard? What is it about you that makes you a servant? What is it about you that makes you, you know, whatever those qualities are that we are trying to exude in our job, I want to be able to say, it's because God has given me the ability to do this. It's because he has bestowed upon me this blessing. And if it weren't for him, I wouldn't have anything. I would have nothing. It brings God glory when we work hard. It shows people who he is. So that's number two. We got to understand who God wants us to become, who we serve, and who he wants us to become. And then third, we need to understand that we are called to have impact. We're called to impact our world through whatever job we have, right? Who are the people we're called to impact? Everyone, every single person that we rub shoulders with every day when we work, we are called to have impact on. Right? And how we work, the way we work, that is going to influence the people around us. Do we recognize that? People are watching. They're watching you work every single day. They're watching to see, are you cutting corners? Are you stealing company time? Are you stealing literal things from the company? Right? Are you treating your coworkers with respect and love and honor? They are watching that. How you perform in your daily work shows people something about who you are and ultimately about who God is. And so really the challenge with this one is simple. As we work, here should be our mindset. I need to be an example of Christ today to those around me. I'm going to show people who Jesus is through my living and my words. right? I'm going to share the gospel with people through my words and through my actions. And again, just this is a mindset change that many of us need to grab onto here. Whatever your job is, whether you're the janitor, the teacher, the doctor, the lawyer, the firefighter, the CEO, whatever it is, your responsibility in that job is not just to be that thing, but to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ in your world. That's your job. That's your primary function, right? I love putting this in terms of this idea of an ambassador. What is an ambassador? It is somebody who goes to another country on behalf of their home country, right? Whether we realize this or not, those of us who are followers of Jesus, we are aliens in a foreign land. We are. And what we've been called to do is to be ambassadors in that foreign land for Jesus Christ, to show people who he is, teach them what it looks like to follow him, explain to them, help them understand what he has done for you, why he is such a good king, why he's worthy of following, right? That is your job. That is your primary job in whatever job you have, to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ, right? What we can never forget, church, is who we really work for, who we represent every day. I want to challenge you to think of it in this way. I think sometimes we get caught up in, well, you know, the pastor, they're in ministry, right? They're the ones who are in ministry. But I'm not in ministry. I have a job. I have my day job, whatever that is. I want to challenge you to completely rethink that. Whatever job you have, you are 100% in ministry. You are in ministry. You happen to get to do it in whatever profession you've chosen, but at the end of the day, you are a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ in your world. That is the mindset we must have. And so whether you've got a terrible boss, whether you don't feel fulfilled in your job, whatever it might be, even if your job is great right now, I want to challenge us to take on this mindset. And this is the message today. If you brought something to write with today, I want to encourage you to write this down. What you do for a job is far less important than who you're serving, who you're becoming, and who you are impacting. I want to say that again. What you do for a job is far less important, way less important than who you're serving, who you're becoming, and who you are impacting. And this is what I need you to lean in for a second. I need you to hear this. This is the perspective that brings peace in your job. If you have any other perspective than this, it will steal your joy. It will suck the life and all of the joy and peace and fun and the gift that is work. It'll steal it all. And what I want for you is for every day for you to wake up and go to work knowing, I'm going to work for the King of Kings today. I get to have tremendous impact on the world around me. Today, God is going to do something in my life through this work that he could not have done if I didn't go to this job today. He's working on you through this. He's sharpening you and changing you and growing you. If we will have that perspective, boy, does it make it so much easier to get up and go to a job every day. Whether you love it or you hate it. And so I want to challenge you to start asking some questions, church. Start asking some questions every morning. You start asking these questions, it'll change your whole perspective, I promise you. Number one, God, why do you have me here right now? That's a great question in every situation you face in your life. Every challenging circumstance, God, why do you have me here right now? In this time, this age, this job, this situation, God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to see this? What do you want to teach me? Right, start asking that every single day. Second question, God, how can I serve you today? Lord, how can I serve you? How would you call me to love the people that I'm going to work with today? How would you call me to serve them today? Right, start asking that question every day when you get up and go into the office. God, how can I serve you? Third question, who are you wanting me to impact today? Who do you want me to impact with the gospel specifically of Jesus Christ today? Through my living and through my words. We have thrown out a big challenge for 2024. If you've been a part of True North Church for a while, you know this. We're just calling it the Bridge the Gap Challenge, where we're asking our people to think of five people in their life that need to hear about Jesus, that need the hope of Jesus. Right? These two things, your job and this challenge, boy, they're tied intimately together. Every day you're working with people who don't know Christ, who are far from God, who are struggling in their marriages, they're struggling in their parenting, they're struggling in their finances, they're lost and they're broken. And some of them don't even know it. And we have the answer to that. Every day when we go into our job, we have an opportunity to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with those around us. And so as we close, here's my final challenge. In your job, whatever it is, no matter what it is, students, if you're a student today, that's your job right now. That's your job right now. If you're a homemaker, that's a huge job. Unbelievably important job. When I say people work 8 to 10 hours a day, if you're a homemaker, you're working way more than that, right? Whatever your job is, you can do this. You can say every day, you can wake up and you can look at it and you can look at all the challenges and all the struggles and all the things you got to do that you don't want to do. And you can be frustrated by that. You will have no peace if you live that way, I promise. Or you can wake up every single day and you can look to your King and you can say, okay, God, this is a gift that you have given me. I get to have impact today on the people around me, and you are gonna grow me and change me in a way today that I cannot wait to see what happens in my life. Two very different perspectives, right? God has placed you where you are in this time and this season for a purpose. Recognize what that purpose is, and your peace level will begin to change. And so as we close, I want to talk to two groups. Very simple. For those in the room who maybe have never put their faith in Jesus Christ, this is the gospel. This is the best news that you will ever hear. Mark my words. You will never hear anything greater than this. I think deep down inside, we all know this. We are broken people. We are messed up people. And there was a time when I had great sin in my life and I was making destructive choices and I was lost. And then one day I realized this whole Jesus thing, there's something to this. He's real. And what he says he did, what he claimed in the word of God to have done, which is to die on behalf of all mankind and for their sin, for those who will put their faith and trust in him, to repent of our sin and say, God, I need you. He wipes the slate clean. He cleans our slate. When God looks at me now, he doesn't see all of my mess ups. He doesn't see all of my failures. He doesn't see all the things, the thoughts I've had that were wrong and messed up. You know what he sees? He sees Jesus now. He covers me with his righteousness. And from the moment that happens, there is a freedom. We are set free from having to perform, from having to look good in the eyes of God constantly, worrying about whether or not my salvation is secure. My salvation is secure and I know it. That's the gospel. I don't have to work for it. Jesus did the work for me. And from the second we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we now have a new king and a new boss. And I'm telling you right now, the new boss in town he is the best boss you will ever have. Following him is the greatest joyride of my life. So good to follow him. He's such a good king. And he is beckoning you. He is calling you. If you don't know him, if you've never trusted in him, to come into his family, he wants to heal you of your brokenness and he wants to set you on a path of purpose in all that you do. Would you do that today? Would you put your faith and trust in Christ? And for those of us, church, who we've done that, we've made that decision, may we not, from one moment to the next, be duped by the lie that there is another king out there who is more worthy of following? Because there's a temptation, even after you come to Jesus, to do that. He is our king now. He is our boss. And we're gonna follow him with everything we've got. Amen, church? Everything we've got, we're gonna follow him. And as we do that, he's gonna continue to change us and he's gonna change the world around us. That's my hope and prayer for this church. We would saturate Ross Township and Pittsburgh and beyond with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because we've taken on the right perspective about our work.